Columbus Circle, London. The Lonesomest Mountain.
I Beat with Larry Thor as...
The days of... And it started all over. The time card, smile at the boss of the end table when you come home. But the main chunk of dream is still there. That eddy of crowd, or that one. The yellow hair sees your smile, and it's happened. But no dreams were us all after and thrown away. This abandoned, seen now for 2 men at...
You're not gonna take me, Copper.
I'm coming up after you.
I got a gun. I'm gonna use it, Copper.
You just listen for a moment. Then walk toward me with your hands up.
It's Copper.
Come on. Yeah, we'll try another one, Danny. Yeah, that one's it up. Yeah, come on. It's my day for helping. Let me help you. No. Danny, you don't have to be a hero. You don't have to set up.
Leave me alone, will you? Real funny.
Well, don't let it worry. There's an all-points bulletin out on him, Danny. We'll get him. Won't take long. Make you feel better?
Yeah, real funny.
Yeah, the lady recognized him when he came out of the alley with a gun as the neighborhood drunk and everything.
I should have had him. I'd give him 10 minutes in here and lost him.
Oh, forget it.
Danny?
Come on in, son.
Oh, my, my. My, my. What's you do, Danny?
Yeah,
no.
Thanks.
You called Mrs. T, who prescribed a 5 yard of plaid wool.
Oh, Gino, but...
Poor care to know, there have been no reports on Herbie Lennon.
Well, that's what I wanted to know.
East whom Herb Lennon is alleged... Deceased name, Joseph Patey. 45 years old. Yeah. Address, 1212 East 48.
Good neighborhood.
Death instantaneous from 38 caliber bullet fired from up close. Site of death, alley between his apartment house and East 47th. Preliminary investigation shows the following. The deceased Joseph Brady was well-to-do, living off of royalties from a gag, bottle opener for the bar trade and home use, which he did invent about 5 years ago.
Any connection to...
None, Danny, as far as known as...
Danny Clover speaking.
This is Herbie Lennon.
Where are you, Herbie?
Subway phone booth. 34th and Lexington. I'll wait for you, Copper. And I'll talk to you. You'd better hurry before I change my mind.
I'll be right there.
I'll leave the recipe. Remember, I heard too.
You missed it.
Herb Lennon. Come on, Herb.
Yeah. Come on, Herb. Let's get out of here, Herb. It hurt when I brained you?
Yeah, it hurt.
Yeah, you passed out.
Uh-huh.
The same like me. It gets too big to handle, I pass out. You gonna listen to me?
What?
You'll listen, maybe, but you won't believe me.
Tell me.
I know, believe me.
Tell me.
I know you're not gonna believe me. I'll tell you anyhow. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I tapped you on your skull. It wasn't right. I shouldn't have done that.
I'll be upstairs, Herb.
Wait, will you?
For what?
I don't know. Just wait a minute.
All right. Well, Herb?
But I'm drunk. But you wait till that, can't you?
Come on.
No, wait. I'm not drunk. Something's about my type drunk. Maybe. Wait. Didn't I tell you what stand the kind of drunk I am? I'm lucky, sometimes in between. I do
kill.
I black out and people tell me it gets big screams in the neighborhood that they right in the middle. I say to myself, who in here, Herb? Who is, and another thing, who are you, Herb? It's like last night. That was one of those sometimes. This guy dead by my feet, a guy out of nowhere.
Joe Brady.
This guy dead by my
feet. The man you shot.
A guy out of nowhere.
The man you shot.
A guy out of nowhere.
The man you shot.
And a thing dead at your feet. Closes in on you, you know? And you get the memes and you run. And something gets in the way like you did.
Come on, Herb. Let's go book you for murder.
You didn't understand a word I said, did you, mister? You didn't understand. I'm just a drunk. No killer. All those things people scream laughing over what I did. Not once was it I hurt somebody. I don't hurt nobody. I got enough of my own to last me a billion years, so why go looking to hurt somebody? Killed somebody? I'm a nothing to... I did that, mister? I killed?
Come on, Herb. And up the subway stairs and into another pattern of roar and chill and winter shadows. January day splayed against stone, against pavement, against crowd. And the woman who slows for a moment, considers you, considers the man at your side, smiles the knowing winter smile, the secret winter smile. And Herbie's mouth shapes an emotion about her, and her step quickens, flight into crowd. The squad car then, push Herb into it, ride drifting day. And it becomes headquarters and the booking of Herb Lennon for suspicion of murder. And upstairs now, in the corridor to your office, and a desk to pass.
Danny?
Yeah, I know, Gino, the poultice. I'll do
so
it.
So quick to jump the false presumptions, Danny, I am surprised at you.
Not the poultice?
Your health and the lumps that go with it is a private affair after all.
Then what?
Under your very nose, on my desk, a tumbler full fresh camellias. And this is your comment?
Well, they're very nice, Gino. Now,
and how it comes to pass that a sergeant is bedecked with a tumbler full fresh camellias, this does not occur to you to ask?
All right, Gino, how come?
Given to me out of the blue by visitor, a doll, a charmer, a lady of refinement and sensitivity who even now waits for you in your office. For you, there was a bachelor button which I have laid neatly across
your... Who is she? What does she want?
Party by the name Miss Sally Carr. What she wants is a thing meant to murder Joe Brady. And I tell you, Danny, if it were not that my eyes are already fastened on a certain Mrs. Tartaglia, this kindly lady...
Steady, Gino.
Hi, Danny.
Miss Carr?
It was the sergeant's whim to lay your flower, the one I brought you, across your calendar. He said it would sweeten your day. I thought it so delicate of him, and I didn't have...
He said it was about Joe Brady.
May I place the flower in your buttonhole, Mr. Clover? It's what it was meant for.
What about Joe Brady, Miss Carr?
Him? Oh, very simple. Something I believe you should know about him.
What?
That I killed him. It does seem a little shocking, doesn't it? But I did. I really did. I took a gun... And I shot him. And I killed him. There now, Mr. Clover. How nice you look.
You are listening to Broadway's My Beat, written by Morton Fine and David Friedkin, and starring Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover. When you hear or read about foreign propaganda against the American economic system, do you just feel resentment, or can you answer the charges in your own mind with facts? It's true, our system has faults. It also has provisions for constant improvement, and our high production of goods and services has gone hand in hand with the preservation of our basic freedoms. Understanding our system ourselves is the first step towards combating propaganda against it.
The new year has doled out only so many of its night times, and Broadway has already used them, drained their moonflow, their trumpetings, their whisper. The long night times, quick surge, quick ebb of night times, and a new one coming up. And take your place in line, wait for the new falling of darkness, beat the change of price. And it will come like other Broadway darknesses, explosion, laughter, shock. In the corridor where now walks solitude, wait. At edge of neon dream, wait. Soon there is night. And in the office at headquarters, gray flow of winter twilight, and the twilight woman who had brought camellias for a sergeant's desk, who had placed a flower in your lapel, who had confessed to murder.
Such a restful time. Such a lovely time.
What?
The close of day, Mr. Clover. When there's stillness and so much that's beautiful. And so many sweet thoughts crowding in to be heard.
Miss Carr.
And the planning of kindnesses. Such a delicious, wonderful time of day. Though I must confess...
I know, but you killed.
Oh, that... No. No, my other confession. That I hate darkness. I'm afraid of it. It's silly, I know, but I'm no longer a young girl, Mr. Clover. 45, to be precise. And darkness...
Let's get back to the murder of Joe Brady, shall we, Miss Carr?
If you wish.
You've confessed to the murder of a man.
Of course, because I did it.
Why did you kill Brady? Miss Carr...
So much good left to be done, Mr. Clover. And so many dependent upon me for it. At least I deceive myself into believing that they are. And now I've gone and spoiled it for them.
Why did you kill Brady?
Please, Mr. Clover. It's past. I took a gun. I shot him in cold blood. Past. And so many other things to think about now.
Where did you get the gun? Tell me, Miss Carr.
I'm very tired, Mr. Clover. And he was a very evil man. And he deserved the death.
You knew Brady that well, that he was that kind of man, that he needed you to kill him? That was one of the niceties you do for people, Miss Carr?
For Herb, it was. How much he needed what I did for him at that moment.
Herb Lennon?
That poor, helpless boy. Like a child in his drunkenness. And that man beating him and cursing him and beating and beating and Herbie crying. And I took a gun and killed that man and told Herbie it was all right. He could go home.
Yeah. You understand, Miss Carr, we're going to book you for suspicion of murder.
If you'd only listened to me. How simple I tried to make it for you. You could have done what was needed without all this. Where now, Mr. Clover?
And Miss Carr straightens her knitted mittens, gets up from her chair and lays a hand on your arm. Mannerism of gentle lady being led away to jail, and remarks about it.
After all, the day of the dungeon is past, and after all, I have committed a crime.
So book her on suspicion, get a copy of her address from the desk sergeant, tip your hat to Miss Carr, and leave her. Out into the street, squad car ride to East 37th, tenement neighborhood in early January evening. Winter chill against built-in shadow. Yellow pools of light from windows as if spilled from a broken bottle and swept thin. The walkers are solitary and wear their loneliness as tightly around them as their zippered leather jackets. So punch doorbells and ask questions of Miss Carr's neighbors and get answers like the answers Mrs. Taylor gives you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All I want to know is whether you think Miss Carr could have killed a man.
You're crazy.
Look, Mrs. Taylor, she confessed to doing it.
You're out of your mind.
Suppose you just tell me a little bit about Miss Carr.
With the greatest of pleasure, mister. Because Sally Carr is a blessing to all of us. You know what this neighborhood is. I don't have to tell you. Where kids grow up, so you police can assign them numbers. So you can...
Just tell me about Miss Carr.
Someone around here gets sick. Sally Carr's nurse, doctor, and smile. Organizes things so everyone will have something for Christmas. Organizes things so we women can have our babies in hospitals.
Oh. Now tell me something about Herbie Lennon.
I'm glad you asked, because now you'll know what kind of woman Sally is. Herbie is her pet problem and her pet charity. She clothes him, has for as long as she's lived around here. Herbie's a drunk, but it don't make no difference to Sally. Gives him a quarter or a dollar.
How long has Miss Carr lived around here?
Oh, let's see now. About 5 years, I think. And let me tell you something, mister. If you think Sally Carr killed a man, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to court and say that she was with me at the time of the killing.
She confessed it, Mrs. Taylor.
Because she's Sally Carr. She's just covering for that sot Herbie. Now you get out of here. I don't like what your mouth says about Sally Carr.
Danny? Hey, I'm talking to you, Danny.
Hey, what do you want, Muggerman?
Why don't you take a rest? Let me walk around the office for a while.
Forget it.
Forget it, he says. Look, I had as much grief as you did today. I talked to some of our neighbors, too. 37th Street formed a block committee and came down in protest.
Oh?
Yeah. Three of them said they were going to take the stand and swear Sally Carr was with them at the time.
Yeah, I know.
Right now, she's got her whole cell block singing spirituals in four-part harmony. You think she killed anybody, Danny?
What do you think?
This Muggerman, Tim. I'm calling for Lieutenant Clover. Release Sally Carr. Right. Right, Danny.
Yeah. I'll meet her downstairs with the squad car. Take her home. And full squall of winter night now. And lightning-like storm of winter lights, gleam, refraction, phosphorescence. Ride it. And at your side, the dainty woman, and thin-lipped and trembling her protests of guilt.
I killed, and you're being very silly, quite childish about it. And the girls and me in our cell, how well we sang together.
The never end of soliloquy on pitfalls of crime and etiquette of punishment. Until you escort her to her door, help her shrewdly with the mechanics of key and lock, and change of water in vases of...
Flowers, blossoms, were you lonely for me?
And go home, where quiet is, and sleep. And morning at headquarters, morning in your office is a man from Brooklyn, man with identity.
Stan Claimley. Claimley, got it, fella? Well,
what can I do for you, Mr. Claimley?
A deal. You talk deal, mister?
What deal, Mr. Claimley?
Last night in the paper in front of handicappers, I noticed picture. Certain lady you held for murder, then released.
What about her?
What about her is pleased to convey to me her home address, as if she is whom I think she is. This lady owes me for a plate glass window to my restaurant, to which she threw my blue plate special of that year.
What?
Also for the fixtures, which she and her boyfriend broke in at Toothpicks at the time. My counselor will be very obliged to you, and will extend to you the courtesy a percentage of the take from the lawsuit. My deal.
The woman you're talking about, Sally Carr, is...
Sally Carr, she says. 6 years to yesterday. The time of the broken glass, etc., in my restaurant, known to me as Hazel Thomas, the lady boogeyman of the neighborhood. 6 years now, my lawyer and
me. Hold
it
a minute, huh, Mr. Claimley?
If it's the procedure.
I want you to look at a photograph. Here, take a look.
Don't mind. Hey, this is of a dead man. Hey.
What, Mr. Claimley?
This fella by the picture, the dead. Sure, that's Joe. Sure, Joe Brady, the boyfriend of Hazel I was telling you about. This is how he is now.
You said this woman you've been looking for was known in your neighborhood. What neighborhood, Mr. Claimley?
Down by Prospect Park, from 212 to 218th Street. Corner of Brighton and 215 is my restaurant. Down the street is a bar and grill where this Hazel was lapping it up before she... Hey. Her. Hazel Thomas and... Joe Brady, dead. And I'm worried about a plate glass.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Claimley. Thanks a lot.
What are you drinking, friend?
Police.
Yeah. Hey, Mickey, you owe me a buck. Police, I told you. What's yours?
Why don't you look at a couple of pictures? We're trying to find out.
Yeah, you're casing the neighborhood and asking. I know the routine. Let me see them.
Here.
Hazel Thomas and Joe Brady.
You're sure?
You showed me and I told you. What do you want me to do? Put carrots in your ears and hang onto them and say, please believe me? Hazel Thomas and Joe Brady, friend.
They used to live around here, didn't they?
Yeah.
Tell me about them.
Love.
No?
Yeah, when Hazel wasn't chasing Joe around the block with a meat axe, they were covering love on the table over my last boot over there. Go look at it. Notches all around the edge of the table.
Then Joe got rich, huh?
Yeah, he invented that thing over there in a ginger ale bottle. Dollar item worth 39 cents. Joe gave me one free.
Then what?
Then what?
Well, what happened to Joe after he got rich?
He bid Hazel fond farewell and left Brooklyn with two black eyes and a snaggle tooth. Never come back.
Now tell me something about Hazel.
The meanest drunk I ever seen in my life. Probably the worst dame that ever lived.
Tell me,
Mean, that's all. Look, like a bum come in and ask her to buy a beer. She'd buy it, wait for the foam to settle, hand it to the bum, and spill it all over him. And then she'd get down on the floor and laugh and kick the floor. She'd laugh so hard. Then, like you'd be reading a newspaper. Now, you don't see her, see? She'd light the paper and get down on the floor again and bang with her heels.
That's it, huh?
Oh, me, like I said, like to hurt people. Little hurts. The worst, no good, horrible dame you ever saw. That was Hazel.
Danny?
Uh-huh?
This time of day, she's probably having her tea. A nice, sweet lady like her.
Find out.
Why, Mr. Clover, what a pleasant surprise. And this gentleman must be a friend of yours.
May I present Detective Margolin?
Charmed, I'm real sure.
And so am I. Come in, come in. I'm just having tea. Right in here. Oh, please, sit down. I'll pour.
No tea for me, thanks.
Me either.
No tea?
Miss
well,
Carr.
Oh, I know. Dandelion wine. I have some in the closet.
Thanks, but we just had some.
What?
Do you know why we're here, Miss Carr?
Why, of course. The time of the day. Calling time. We're old friends now.
Guess again.
Should I, Mr. Clover?
Yeah.
Well, let's see now.
I'll give you a hint. Try murder.
Oh, you've come to take me back.
That's right.
I told you all along. Well, you just wait and I'll pack a few things.
Well, let's just talk for a little while.
How nice.
And what the lieutenant wants to tell you is that you're not going to stand trial on the basis of your confession.
Why, whatever do you mean?
Well, if you'd stand trial on that basis, you'd get off. First of all, no jury would believe a sweet lady like you could kill a man. No motive. Secondly, all your neighbors, character witnesses. Some of them will even furnish you with an alibi.
If you love people, they'll love you back.
Just pay attention. The jury would say Sally Carr was covering for Herbie. Acquit Sally Carr. Sally Carr could never stand trial again for the murder of Joe Brady.
The way you planned it, Hazel.
Hazel?
That's right. There's no Sally Carr. Your confession wouldn't even be legal. Your name is Hazel Thomas.
Why, what are you talking about?
We've talked to a lot of people, Hazel, including people from Brooklyn.
Yeah, you really left your mark on Brooklyn, Hazel.
Matter of fact, if you'd paid a man for the plate glass window you kicked out, maybe we'd never have caught up with you.
Fellas.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you give an old party an even chance?
Like what?
Give me a running start for that meat axe I got in the kitchen. A laugher, huh? I'll show you.
No. Let go of him. Let go. Take it easy, Hazel.
You leave me alone with that slob for 2 more minutes. That scratch on his face will end at his toes.
Give me a handkerchief, will you, Dan?
Here. Hazel?
Yeah.
You killed Brady because he ran out on you, huh?
Sure. Makes a gadget. He goes crazy. After all the times we had together. You don't know the times we had together.
I heard.
You can believe it, too.
So you tracked him down and moved close by. Changed your name and your personality, too.
Nurtured a drunk named Herbie. A drunk who blacked out. So when you finally got your old boyfriend in an alley and shot him, you could stick the gun in Herbie's hand.
It took 5 years. But I paid off Brady.
Ready, Hazel?
You aren't gonna let me race you to the meat axe, huh? Sure. I'm ready. Let's go.
Broadway's sleeping now. The furious avenue of the night is still. It stretches out in front of you, without beginning, without end. The dumping grounds of refuse and ashes and leftovers. The neon words are turned off, but look there, where the sidewalk meets the street. It's your name, written on water. It's Broadway, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway, my beat.
Broadway's My Beat stars Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover, with Charles Calvert as Tartaglia and Jack Crucian as Mugovan. The program is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with musical score composed and conducted by Alexander Courage. In tonight's story, Paula Winslow was heard as Hazel. Featured in the cast were Martha Wentworth, Sidney Miller, Benny Rubin, and Paul Fries. Bill Anders speaking. We think you'll agree, daytime listening on CBS Radio Sundays is quite an experience. There's comedy with King Arthur Godfrey's Round Table, and comedy sprinkled with surprises when the quiz kids strut their brainy stuff. There's distinguished music with the New York Philharmonic Symphony. Daytime listening on CBS Radio Sundays is, as we said, quite an experience. Stay tuned now for the Vaughn Monroe Show, which follows immediately over most of these same stations. America now listens to 105 million radio sets and listens most to the CBS Radio Network.